Well, that's a bit of a surprising reading in the lead up to Christmas, isn't it? As we come into this Advent season, I want to start by talking about the idea of time. Keep on your watch. I know in previous years, at this time of year, we've played that game, What's the Time, Mr. I think we called it Vicar or something, rather than Mr. Wolf. But it's an idea of being ready, isn't it? And in the Bible, certainly in the Greek, there's two different ideas of time. One is the kind of time that we use every day, the 24-hour clock, chronos time. And the other is kairos time, which is about the time where we make big decisions to change. And Advent is a time where we're focusing on that second kind of time. It's the kind of time that focuses our minds and gets us to make big decisions in the here and now. Well, one of the challenges, I suppose, of Advent is the fact that we're looking forward to Christmas, and we're entering into that season. But before we get that, we have this very different season, and it's got a very different theme about the coming of the King. And in the Bible, what happens is the readings that we have sort of fast forward beyond Christmas, beyond the life of Jesus, beyond the resurrection of Jesus, even beyond the early church, to when Jesus is going to come again. And in some ways, you could argue that it should be later on in the church calendar, but it's not. It's before Christmas, and that's how we do it. And so that is our focus today. A couple of years ago, I was at the church school doing an assembly, and it was Advent, and it was the Advent assembly. We do an Advent assembly every year. And it just so happened that it was the day that the Ofsted inspectors came in. And if you know what Ofsted's like, if you work in a school, you know you're watching and waiting and watching and waiting and watching and waiting. And I looked up, and there was the chief inspector walked into the back of the assembly. And I so nearly got her out the front. I so nearly said, oh, we've got, you know what I mean, got her out and made a little bit of a feature. I thought it might not have gone down well in the report. But the point is, the school was just really on tenterhooks, right, leading up to it. And they were ready, and they were getting ready, and they were preparing. And frankly, it's a time of turbulence. Even in a school that's doing really well, like the church school, it's still a time that is a time of turbulence. And in the reading, it says, the Son of Man will come on a cloud with power and great glory. And it has this picture of it being very turbulent. It talks about this almost like the sea and the turbulence of the waves. And people and men will be on edge and waiting and watching and waiting. And of course, it is a very different sort of theme than what we have at Christmas time, because the story of Jesus the baby coming into the world is one that we all like and we're ready for, but the story of Jesus the King coming back to judge the world is one that perhaps we're not always quite ready for. Well, the good news is it was unsettling 2,000 years ago, and it's unsettling today, and I guess it's going to be unsettling when it actually happens. But the nature of Advent is that it prepares us for a time that reminds us that we have a God who is a God of the unexpected. That he is a God of the unexpected. How many people have ever been in a boat, any kind of a boat? And you know that there is a term in the boat called idling, or being in a sort of idle state, where you're kind of, the engine's going, but you're not really moving. Have you ever been in that state, where you're sort of still, and you're just not going anywhere, but you're still? The slightly worrying news is that in the Christian life, there is no such thing as idling. The message of Advent is that either we're going somewhere forward or we're going backwards. It seems to me that it's quite challenging. And we have to examine our hearts and say, are we going forwards or are we going backwards? If we're stationary, we're probably going backwards because the tide takes us in that direction. And so it's challenging us to say, let's not be in neutral at this time. Let's be prepared to acknowledge that it's an unsettling time that's going to unsettle us. And that's okay, because part of the message of the gospel is unsettling. It challenges us, it challenges our lives and says, what are you doing right now to serve God? Where are you at with God? That is part of the message of Advent. It's a time of preparing ourselves for Jesus coming to judge. That's a challenging message, isn't it? But it's one that is real. Let me tell you that in the persecuted church, and in the church where, in parts of the world where the church is under a lot of pressure, they don't view Advent in that way. They think, great, bring it on. Bring on God's judgment. They often have a much clearer understanding of the challenges that the church faces. It's more in the Western world that we find that message unsettling, the idea that God could judge. Because actually, often, we are a little bit insulated from the realities and the challenges that face Christians around the world and we're meant to face. But in this reading, then the tone changes, and it talks about Advent almost like spring. Do you remember that little reference to the fig tree flowering? And the idea there, of course, is that it's not just a time of getting anxious and worried because of what's going on. It's also a time of new life and new hope as we prepare for Jesus to come again. In the morning prayer during the week we say each day, if you're in ministry, you the idea is that you're meant to say morning prayer every day, and I just about do it every day. You're really meant to say it twice a day. I don't often do it in the evening, I have to be honest. But in the morning, we do. And it's sort of set prayers. And there's this one little verse in what's called the Benedictus, which is the song of Zechariah from Luke chapter 2. And in that verse, it says this, "In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us." In the tender compassion from our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us. In other words, there's a new day that's beginning. And we're not there yet. We're still the day before, but we're looking out onto this new day that's about to break upon us. It's spring-like in its nature. And that is that idea of the kettle that maybe you may or may not got it. But the idea is that we're in this in-between state. The spring is coming, and we're getting ready for that. And that's what it's going to be like when Jesus comes again. We're not quite there yet. We're in a liminal state. We're in a liminal state. We're between two states. What is the kingdom of God going to be like? Well, I guess it's like a new way of seeing the world. It's new. Many of you, quite a lot of you, were involved in the night shelter that we've just had, the Wydown night shelter, and they've just moved on to Pudsey Parish. I know Sue went and had a meal with them last night, and they're all doing well and sort of there. But I found it very interesting to watch the reaction of people to the whole thing, particularly people in the community who maybe aren't regular churchgoers. I think for all of us it was an interesting experience. But what I found really interesting was that it sort of really opened people's eyes just to a new way of living and a new way of doing things. And the idea is that, you know, here are this group of people who are homeless men who come in. No one really quite knew what to expect. But actually, when they came in, over those 2 weeks, it was kind of something new was created, a sort of a spirit of generosity and a spirit of taking our eyes off ourselves and putting our eyes on others. The idea that there was just a bigger picture out there, that actually we're pretty lucky in Calvary. We've got quite a lot going for us, and there's other people who don't. And somehow in that whole process, there's kind of something happened. And that is the idea of the kingdom of God being near. It's that kind of change of perspective, of a change of a way of looking at life. And that's tied in with Jesus' agenda and Jesus' second coming. Sure, of course, it's a time of turbulence, of newness, but also it's a time of something new taking place as God's kingdom breaks, in a time of hope, a time of expectation, where God's value system changes things, and we're challenged by that. In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us. What's interesting in the reading is that it seems as though they thought it was going to happen really quickly. In fact, Jesus says, this generation will not pass away before they see these things. And I suppose it makes us ask the question, did Jesus get it wrong? Because clearly he hasn't come back yet, but he made that statement. Well, it looks as though actually it possibly referred to the tribulations that were going to happen to the church when Jerusalem was flattened by the Romans and there was big changes going on. But I think perhaps more than that, we have to just recognize that sometimes when we look at the Bible, there's complexity in it, and we recognize that sometimes we don't always understand exactly why things are said or what they mean, and this is one of those situations. But the point is this, that Jesus is making. The point is that he will come again. He will come again. And when he comes, he will bring on a new age. And it's a particular kind of a new age. It's a new age that is an age of royalty. He's going to come back as a king, because it talks about the kingdom of God that is coming, and this reference to the Son of Man. And so Jesus is always pictured in Advent as a king. That's the idea, that Jesus is a king. And I suppose the whole point is that we are preparing for royalty, a royal visitation. That's the message of Advent. One of the parishioners at Pudsey Parish used to be a footman to the Queen Mother. And he now works for British Rail, or Northern Rail, or Rail Company. But anyway, he previously was down in London, and he was the footman to the Queen's Mother. Do you remember the Queen Mother? You know? She lived to about 100, is that right? Anyway, that lady. My guess is that he was always had to be ready. Ready for what? I don't quite know. But, you know, when you're a footman to the Queen Mother, you're waiting and waiting and waiting. And if she says, Andy, I'd like a cup of tea or whatever, I suppose you do it. And I guess maybe there was phone calls to be made to check that, you know, everything was all lined up for whatever she was doing that day. But it requires preparation. You have to be ready. You've got to be in your uniform. You've got to be ready to go, not sleeping. And here is this powerful passage that talks about being ready for the king. Being ready for the king. I think it's really healthy that we have an attitude about God as being intimate and sort of both on our side and someone whom we have a friendship with. That's absolutely right. But there's another part of the scripture, another picture of God at Advent that is not really about Jesus being our friend. It's about him being our king. And so as we consider our lives, we have to sort of respect that, a holy respect for God and a holy respect for what for his coming and what that means. And so what do we need to do? Well, very simply, we need to be prepared. The scout's motto, isn't it? Be prepared. The whole of this passage of what that looks like, it comes down to the idea of living a fairly simple, clear lifestyle. In this passage, that is what he's saying. It says, do not be weighed down. That's the advice. Do not be weighed down by dissipation and drunkenness and all these things that might distract us. But instead, travel light. And that is a challenge for us today, isn't it? It's perhaps an odd bit of advice for Jesus to give, very particular, but I think it's relevant in Advent to travel light. And often, like in Lent, Advent's a little bit like that, as in the church, we try to focus on not so much about what we can get for Christmas, but what we can give for Christmas. Perhaps not on the commercialism of Christmas, but actually on what it really means, because we are waiting and we're getting ready. And back then, I suppose they had even fewer options. But clearly, even back in Jesus' day, there was distractions that they had to avoid. Today, I suppose, we also have distractions. And we need to be able to be, it says in the passage, on the lookout to be able to escape those things. In other words, don't get drawn in. It's not actually a particularly rosy picture that's presented. It's more like a picture of battle. And the picture that's presented here is that in a battle, you don't want to be caught without your armor on. You don't want to leave your armor behind, or I suppose in modern parlance, you wouldn't want to leave your rifle behind. You have to have it with you at all. You have to be ready at all times to move. And that's a challenge for us, because quite often, I think that a lot of us live our lives as though our Christian faith is one part of our life among many. We fit it in around sport and leisure activities and work and other things, and then there's the Christian bit as well. It's just one option among many. We maybe will come to church once a month, and the other times we might go and, go shopping. Maybe we'll go and do something. I'm not suggesting that it's all just about coming to church. But Advent is a time where we're supposed to be challenged about how central our faith is. Are we ready for Jesus to come back? If he came back tomorrow, would we be ready? That's the message of Advent. And it's a challenging message of us. The good news is that Jesus is always welcoming and always waiting and always ready as well for us. And in a mysterious way, the ministry of God's Spirit is one that takes us from a place of distraction and a place of not being ready to a place of both being ready and being equipped to serve God. And I guess that's what we're about as a church. As a church, we need to prepare people to be ready and to be able to know that both God is on their side, but also that God is royalty, and that we serve royalty, and that we are to be ready. I want to challenge us today in two ways. Firstly, to ask the very simple question, do you know the king in that way? Are you someone who has that kind of relationship? And if you don't know him, then maybe we need to get to sit down and have a chat about that. If following Jesus is a bit of a hobby that you do when you've got time, then according to Advent, that's not really good enough. Advent is saying that this is your king to follow and your Lord to follow. And so if you want to talk more about that, if you're anxious about that, there may be some time for prayer ministry at the end. Please do speak to one of us. But for all of us, I think the challenge is to simplify our lives, to be ready and to be kind of on the move, as it were, to be going in a direction. And for some of us, maybe we're in a place where we've just got a bit bogged down with all the distractions of life. Maybe we just feel, wow, I don't know that I've got time for God at this point in time. And the message of Advent is, well, God is a gracious God. He always welcomes us back. But the message of Advent is that we need to make time for the King. And if our lives are just too busy and too unfocused, we need to recalibrate ourselves. In January, we've just finished, haven't we, in our home groups, the course on the Bible. Hopefully most of you are just coming to an end. And one of the challenges is how we take that forward. And what I'm proposing is that we all read the Bible every day, which is a kind of an Advent message. But I'm going to do that in a particular way. And there's a Bible app which is called Word Live, and we're going to have a bit more information about it. But I want everyone who's got a phone, a mobile phone, and uses it to use Word Live. It's completely free. And every day it gives you an audio thing. You listen to the reading. You can actually press click and it reads it to you. And then there's a short reflection and an application. Really simple. Takes 10 minutes, 10, 15 minutes. If you're not into the sort of whole phone thing, there's another version that's a paper version called Encounter with God that you can buy. And that's fine as well. Okay, and you read that and you can take it away. Traditional Bible study notes. But I do think we're at the point where we all need to be reading the Bible every day and preparing ourselves and understanding and growing in our faith. And so that's something we're going to be looking at, and we're going to be ordering the book soon so that you're ready. Because ultimately, we worship a King who is coming back, and it's something that we need to be ready for. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this message of Advent. Help us to be ready. Help us as a church to be ready for your coming again. In Jesus' name, amen.